recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Get it on. Get it on, man. Thanks for tuning in, man. Dr. Drew is board certified. What's going on, man? Happy New Year, man.
Yeah, man.
What's going on, man?
You got a cold. That's nice.
I got a little something.
All the fucking travel?
No, I don't know.
You can do the bullshit you used to do. Go drink 3 gallons of carrot juice. That'll help.
I got to drink my carrot juice. No, couple things with me. One is every once in a while I go, damn, man, I'm talking too much. Like I'm blowing my voice out. I never stop talking and never stop ranting and never stop complaining. And I go 5 minutes without talking and then something reminds me of something and I go right back to it. I can't stop myself. So some of it is just me nonstop talking. Still threw myself in the pool this morning. It was freezing.
I'm not sure that's a good idea with you. What you got going.
Yeah, you got to live. You only go around once, man.
Did you see that data that suggests that the super cold exposure elevates mood?
No,
Somebody tweeted us that. It was good.
We'll look for that. I have to go in, as you guys are hearing this today, going in for dental surgery. So that's exciting.
What's going on?
I have a tooth that had a root canal done to it and like a crown, and it cracked several months ago, and they must extract it now.
And put a post in?
Yeah, but they have to. Oh, shut up! What's your Jesus, goddamn Christ? Fuck you! Where's your bedside manner?
Drill a post into your bone.
Fucking put a post in, and they put a post in. But first, they must extract the tooth, and then they must give it like 6 months to recover before they can put the post in because there's nothing going on there.
Right.
So, tooth extraction. Today, as you hear this, and Matt's gonna wait because they put me under, and they need a driver, and then we shall take it from there.
Matt, just slip in. You'll be there. Just slip in and just record some stuff once he starts going under. Just
record. See what he says.
Yeah, a little something. Just ask him some provocative statements. See where he goes.
Butcher Box. Yeah, I don't speak my mind. ButcherBox.com for this half of the show or supporting the show. LifeLock.com and TrueCar.com as well. So there's that. What is the data you speak of? Now, we're really separating the men from the boys where I live because when I got into my car the other morning about I think it was about 8:15 in the morning, the little snowflake lit up on the dashboard, meaning we're freezing here in the foothills. I think the temp gauge read 37 degrees, but that was 37 degrees at 8:15 in the morning.
Yeah.
I was in the pool before that. It's cold. It doesn't – try to – you know, if you really kind of distill – Where's the tough part of it? Not that much of it is tough. I have two theories. You ready, Drew?
I'm ready.
First theory, on a cold morning when you get up and you're walking barefoot through your bedroom and you kick the metal frame of your bed and stub your toe, you are in that moment, you're in every bit of as much pain as you're in if you're shot or run through with rebar. In that moment.
Yes.
Now, later on.
It's better.
It's
yeah.
better.
Yeah.
But in that moment,
yeah.
I just think you get to a 10 and you're at a 10. Mm-hmm. And there's a psychological dynamic as well, which is looking down, seeing no blood versus seeing a piece of rebar sticking from your ribs. So minus the psychological and minus the quickly fading pain. But in that moment, you're at a 10.
Yeah.
So I don't really have this theory of like if you jump into a pool – and the pool is 60 degrees, it's the same as 40 degrees. Right. It's just a shock to your body. It's super uncomfortable. It feels like hell literally at 65 degrees as it does at 35 degrees. It's just shock to the body. So the number, the ambient outdoor temperature and the pool temp, it's a little neither here nor there. Like, it's freezing outside. The pool's in the 40s. The ambient temperature's in the 30s. And the real pain, the only real pain is the split second as you hit, as you hit it.
Yeah.
When you pop up, you're kind of numb and you're just there. And you're just sort of trying to regulate. But you're just kind of there.
In those colder moments in the morning, your deal is to drop in, submerge, and get out.
My move is go to the deep end. How many ends does a pool have?
I'm just saying, it just sounds so
go to the deep end. I jump into the deep end.
Wow.
I pop up. I regulate.
Yeah.
So I get my breathing sort of normal and just get sort of normal. I just sit there for a moment.
In the water.
Yeah, in the deep end.
Yeah.
It's just my head sticking out. Yeah. And then at some point when I feel I've sort of regulated, then I drop down. I touch one of the tiles that's on the bottom of the deep end, just touch that tile, and then underwater to the shallow end, and then pop up and get out.
Oof.
And once you get out, by the way, it's been like rainy and freezing and whatever. Once you pop out of the pool, you're just standing there with steam pouring off. There's not even a feeling. That by the way, that is not uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I'm not even being stoic. Like, there's parts of me that are like, I'm in the backyard, I'm in my underpants, there's steam pouring off me. It's like drizzling outside. There's steam's coming from my breath. And I'll be like, I'm going to wrap up that garden hose and move that shit around like while I'm standing out here. That doesn't feel like anything. The part where you're kind of in there and regulating isn't bad. The part where you're underwater is more of an adrenaline challenge, so it kind of goes away.
Right.
It's really just the kind of landing.
So
it's
the
3 seconds of bad.
The article was essentially making the case that it's a kind of shock therapy. That it like much the way an electric shock would elevate the chemicals in your brain, this does the same thing, which makes perfect sense.
Right.
You're calling it an adrenaline challenge. Well, adrenaline has systemic effects, right? But it also has central nervous system effects.
Right. So that
I mean, literally, it saturates, and there are chemicals like adrenaline released in the brain.
Yeah. By the way, just not for nothing, you are fucking awake when you get out. Like, if you want instant awake, you're instantly awake. Like, and people think, well, what does that mean? It's like, well, it's happened to me before. Maybe it happens to a lot of you, where you wake up at a certain time. And you wake up at a certain time, but it's almost like thawing. It's like you get hold of me a half hour later. I'm still not fully, you know, this is zero to awake real fast. Like, you're just awake. Like, whatever it is you got to do, you're awake now. It's time to go. Whereas before, it's like I do that, oh, I'm in my bathrobe for a little while. I'm in my slippers for a little while. I'm drinking my coffee. And I find myself, you know, I'd be getting into my car and driving somewhere and still not fully sort of up to speed kind of thing. Yeah. This is awake. Every once in a while, I do the it's funny because you'll start trying to make deals with yourself, right?
Yeah.
You know that from your clientele.
Sure.
Where you go like, it's raining outside and the fucking pool cover's on and I'll go into the shower and I'll just put it on cold and that'll be enough. Yeah. That'll be enough. Yeah. And you start going, and then you'll start going, oh, you're making a deal. Like, you're cutting yourself a deal because you're looking out the window and it's fucking raining outside and it's colder than shit. And you're going, you start making these deals, right?
Like, I'm much more of a masochist than that.
You don't have to do this. And you go, now, I don't know. And I'm not this way with everything, but as soon as I realize I'm trying to cut a deal, trying to broker a deal for myself, I'm like, all right, now go get in.
Yeah.
You're trying to get out of it. Now go get in. So I'd like to know where that article is.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, somebody can find it.
Yeah. It wasn't super, you know, dramatic. It just was like, I thought, yeah, of course, you know, it
but
makes
it,
sense.
It makes sense yeah. that if the electroshock therapy is something, yeah. then this is kind of an all body.
Exactly.
Shock.
I mean, all kinds of shock elevate your brain chemicals. Insulin shock therapy elevates your brain chemicals. Bacterial shock therapies. People come out of that with a good mood sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I don't know if you've been thinking about this, and it may just be where we are. It's hard to tell in life because you go, well, now I'm thinking about all this stuff that I wasn't thinking about before. So you think society is doing it. And then you go, oh, no, you're just getting to an age where you would think about that stuff.
Like, what do you mean?
Well, like you think about longevity and health and welfare and stuff like that. And you go, okay, but I didn't think about that when I was 29. It's like, well, you didn't have to.
Right.
But I don't think our parents' friends were talking anything about that or thinking about it. Like, here's what I'm saying. You tell me. Hmm. This subject of sort of wellness, not talking about beating cancer. I'm talking about thriving versus I'm getting by.
Yeah.
I can feel my age.
Optimum
I'm fine.
Health. Yeah.
Just, but physically, but even more sort of mentally. Like, how is it? I'm an atheist. I got, you know, 20 good years, 25 good years left. What are we doing? What are we really doing? What do we want to do? I feel like there's much more of that talk now than there was several years ago.
Also, I've noticed that our generation likes to keep working. We don't, the idea of retirement is not sort of in our lexicon. And so, you know, right now you and I'd be looking forward to, hey, man, we're going to get to that retirement age really quick here, and that's all you care about. Now we're like, no, how do I keep performing indefinitely? Which is very different.
Well, I wonder, I'm very unintended circumstances. I'm very much, I sort of look at life now and I realize it's all just unintended circumstances. Like, Drew, you need more info on Drew's article.
Can you tell me about it some more?
I think I saw it on Twitter two, three days ago.
Well, what should he Google in?
I can't.
Health benefits of cold water plunge or something?
Cold water mood. Just,
okay.
Cold water moods. So I was in Maui over the break, and on ACS I got in this big argument about tipping. But unintended consequences. I got a waiter. The guy's 42 years old. We rang up a bill of $700. I tipped him 20%. Danny Two Sheets wanted me to tip him like $200. I said, the reason this guy's 42 and he's bringing us plates of food and he has no skill and he has no, his livelihood is bringing plates to this table and asking us if we want another cocktail. That's his skill set. He doesn't drive, you know, he can't work a gantry crane. He's not a physician. He's not anything. He does basically for a living. He does what we could have mastered at 15 if we'd shadowed him for 1 week. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Unintended consequences. He lives in Maui. He walks out of that restaurant every night with 700 cash in his pocket, and he's not going anywhere.
So the unintended consequence.
He's not motivated to do anything.
Got it.
He's going to be a food server.
Funny you would say that today. If I was thinking about it, of this story, because you told me the story last night, which is that he has no motivation. He can't find his way out. It's like he is literally getting paid too much, so there's no motivation to step out, right?
Right.
So Howard Stern was talking this morning about how the head of the program director of a station he was working for in Hartford wouldn't give him a $25 raise. And he said, hey, that's Cy doing what he had to do. He was managing a radio station, and he did me a favor because that motivated me then to go out and get a different job. And he goes, he was selling ad for $10 a minute. He had to run a station. $25 was actually a lot of money for that station. And he did him a favor. He should have been working somewhere else anyway. Right? So that's unintended consequence.
Unintended consequences are rent control. Anytime somebody slides in – look, unintended consequences, as I've stated in the past, your dad could be the largest merchandiser of unfinished furniture in the Western Hemisphere, and then you just have a fucking job managing warehouses that sold unfinished furniture.
Yeah,
you probably wouldn't feel that fulfilled by it. It wouldn't be, if you were at a cocktail party and somebody said, "What do you do?" "I'm an attorney." "And what do you do?" "I make documentary films." "What do you do?" "I do unfinished furniture." Like, you wouldn't feel that great about the story. It's an unintended consequence.
It is. I'm wondering if that's the right way to describe it.
It's
more like a side effect or something. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know exactly how I'd say unintended consequences is, why can't poor people live by the beach? We should take apartment buildings, and instead of renting them out for $2,600 a month, we'll rent them out for $475 a month so that folks can move to the beach, who wouldn't normally get a chance to live by the beach, and then the person moves into that apartment, and then the person never owns a home because who's ever going to leave that place? They can see the ocean for under $500 a month.
That's unintended consequence.
And yeah. It's telling.
It's like, what do they call it? The something effect. There's a name for it. When things happen that was Matt's
got a runny nose too.
Blowing his nose.
Yeah,
it sounded like the toilet flushing. It was so loud.
I can't believe that actually bled through the glass. Damn.
Yeah, sweet. Seasonal allergies?
You know, boss. It's like every other week.
I just have a cold. So, Drew.
Yeah.
I am really, really – and there's that – look. That exists in almost every facet of society. You take it with affirmative action or things like that, where they go like, you guys got to hire more young black men. And then businesses are like, oh, but what if I have to let the guy go? And then what if I get sued for wrongful termination because there's a discrimination lawsuit? And then they go, oh, I'm just going to hire the white guy because I can fire the white guy. No problem. If I hire the black guy or I hire the girl, there could be an issue. If they don't perform and I want to fire them, maybe I can't fire them. Or maybe if I do, there's a lawsuit waiting for me. So the intent is, let's get more people of color, more women like in the workplace. But what is the unintended consequence?
Yeah.
Everyone has to examine that clearly before you move forward. And if you do move forward and it starts happening, you must go back and re-examine your decisions.
Especially true with certain government policies and things.
Of course.
Very true then.
All right. Let me tell you about LifeLock, by the way. Experts say the top cybersecurity predictions for 2019, ransomware will taper off, but crypto jacking and other money-making schemes will increase. Government regulations and public sentiment on privacy will drive stronger data protection policies. More nation-state attacks and surveillance of individuals. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against the threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. If there's a problem, they'll have an agent work to fix it. It's 2019 now, people. Let's get the best. Let's get LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent.
Oh, sorry, right, Drew?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off your first year. That is promo code ADAM at LifeLock.com for an additional extra 10% off.
All right. Steve, 33, from Atlanta. Steve?
Hey, Buzzaboo.
Hey, Buzzaboo.
Hey, guys. Someone from a ton of classic love line I called a couple weeks ago, same thing. I want to know if Adam remembers one of the things that he used to say when a caller would call up and say something. So I'll pretend to be the caller, and then this is what he would say every time, if you can remember, Adam. They'd go, "Hi, I'm Julie, I'm 15. My dad beats me, my mom has tried to kill me, and my brother molested me." And Adam, what would you say?
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Perfectly natural.
When I say natural or healthy, I don't know why I want to say healthy.
You flip around a little bit.
You mix it up. Yeah. Perfectly normal was always first, and perfectly natural or perfectly healthy. And then
Because some of the natural, some of the natural is behaviors that were so unnatural.
Right.
It was like, it's perfectly okay. Mason jar, completely natural.
Yeah.
And then, Adam, you'd always there was one episode just now where you were farting so much. And you guys don't do that at your older, more mature ages. But
yeah.
I'm wondering
well,
if we could ever get that back.
How dare you?
Oh.
How dare you?
Literally.
How dare you?
How dare you? Oh. Last night.
Say good day.
Literally last night, my son was holding a big water bowl for Phil. And he was walking it like when you try to balance a big dog's bowl like yeah. he filled up with the sink and he was starting to walk it to the other side of the room and he was very now to set this big bowl down filled with water you can't just sort of lean over and drop it like he literally squatted down and set it very softly on the ground and I just walked up behind him and planted a huge one on the back of his head and he immediately farted back. So he had one chambered, evidently.
He knows to stay armed around right. your house, especially yeah. when you're on the loose.
Yeah, you're right. We don't talk about it as much as we should, but I did fart on my son's I did fart on my son's head last night.
You should talk about it. I think it's because then we did 2 hours of talking a day. Now you do 5-7 hours of talking a day sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
all right.
So,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
But thank you, Steve.
That's it. Thanks, guys. Right.
Thanks for listening. Perfectly normal. Perfectly healthy. Yeah. I don't know why that always cracked people up.
You don't know why?
Well, I do know why, but it wasn't – in my mind, it wasn't a joke. It was all just kind of the delivery.
Yeah.
And it all had to be – it had to be brought out by something totally insane.
Well, a lot of the stuff we would do was to bring things out in relief, right?
Right.
They'd say something insane and you go, nothing wrong with that. Perfectly normal. It was fine.
Right. Did you watch the Golden Globes the other day?
I did. I think the fix is in. I think you have to select your topic in order to be considered for an award now. And it's got to be racism, homophobia, breeding women. And the best thing you can do is have a foreign film in a foreign language, have indigenous people in the film, and create some sort of metaphor for America's mistreatment of the world. Then you're in.
Well,
it doesn't matter how bad the film is.
Back to unintended consequences. The problem, the real scourge of this kind of thing is
quality.
Well, no, the real victim is when something is of a higher quality, is of whatever, and you find out what the theme is and you go, oh. I get it. Yeah. I see. And then someone goes, no, it's really good. And you go, right. They're just giving it because of the theme. It's about the women who did the math for the NASA program and they were of color and it was in the 60s. Okay. Gotcha. I guess I won't be watching that.
That one was a good film. You're right. That's the very one.
Pretty paint by
yeah.
numbers. But
yeah.
but either way,
yeah.
this is the real problem when you kind of look, we talked about it a million times. It's when we talk about like sexual predator, rape, assault, you know, it's physically assault. We've taken those words and those accusations and he's homophobic, he's racist, you know, and just turned it into something that
Hold on. I agree.
Nothing more insidious than racism,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
Now, so you go, what's worse than being a racist, like in our society? You know, I don't know, arsonist or pedophile or something,
pedophile, yeah.
whatever. But racist is right up there. All right. We're going to call this talk show host or this guy who calls WNBA games or tennis games, we're just going to call him a racist. And now, or this politician, we're just going to call him a racist. And you go, okay. And now we're moving. I don't believe it.
I was going to say
that. That's the problem.
I think that's 2019. I think people just move on.
Right,
they're not stopping with anything anymore. They can't tell what's what.
Right,
that's tough.
You've defeated your cause.
Yeah.
If you'd like to bring racists to justice by calling almost everyone a racist, Now, how are we going to bring them to justice? There's more racists than there are non-racists. You know what I mean? This is the thing where it's like, oh, cool. white men. You know what I mean? That's a pretty large group to demonize.
Let me, old white men.
Like, oh boy. Now we're going to have to build a lot of gulags. It's a lot of people. By the way, the only people who can build the gulags are old white guys. So good luck with that, Joy Behar. Have fun with you and your Yenta friends building something.
Forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah, must not have been very important.
It was important. I was going to say, riddle me this. What, okay, that the Hollywood that we grew up with was doing the same thing but around different topics, right? So if it wasn't about sex and pushing the envelope on what they were showing and crime and violence, right? What was Hollywood always criticized for? You show sex and violence all the time. You're destroying. So they've abandoned that as the bar they're pushing back.
Well, they had.
Now they've gone to this other material, which I guess it's good, but it's again that same thing. Anything that is sort of middle America is bad, and we have to ostracize that in some way. And it was the same thing before, but it was around sex and violence.
I'll tell you a few of the things it was by.
Yeah.
First.
After I do this?
Yeah.
All right, I love these guys. I'm eating their meat tonight. Butcher Box. They deliver healthy, 100% grass-fed, finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork, directly to your door on a monthly basis. And now, Adam, pull in your seat. Mm. Wild Alaskan sockeye salmon.
Yeah.
Sustainably harvested from Bristol Bay, Alaska. It's fresh, not factory farmed. All products are humanely raised, never given antibiotics or hormones. Taste is unbelievable. Free shipping anywhere in the U.S., except Alaska and Hawaii. No commitment. Cancel easily anytime. Bacon, they had that bacon for life. I don't see that right now. But the bacon is great. The meat is great. The salmon is great. Special offer. New subscribers get 20. Oh, there. They get 20 pounds off and 2 pounds of salmon for free. Come on. $20 off and 2 pounds of salmon for free. If you go to butcherbox.com, enter the code ADS at checkout. $20 off 2 pounds of salmon. You will not be unhappy. I love this stuff.
So they had back in the day, there was sort of the no nukes thing.
Yep.
It was a sort of environmental, but it was a little more focused on nuclear power.
Like the China syndrome and all this stuff.
Right. Yeah. There was a lot of like no nukey kind of stuff. There was some indigenous American Indian Marlon Brando kind of stuff. There was always, you know, protesting the Vietnam War, Tricky Dick Nixon. There was some women's libby stuff, but it was pretty much based around a woman can do the job just like a man can. It wasn't really – it was funny. It wasn't a woman being oppressed, abused, or victimized. Mm. It was like Rosie the Riveter, like you give us the chance. And remember, it was a lot of like – remember this stupid correction thing? Remember I always tell you the correction part is all the part of the left movement, how they love it? Because when I was a kid, it was like I'd always say the example. I'd go like, well, look, you know, as far as what qualities am I looking for in an airline pilot? Well, I'd like him to be smart. I'd like him to have some military – him or her.
You know my favorite.
Him or her.
You know my favorite they'd stop you on.
What?
Well, she, you know, they were engaged in intercourse. He raped her. Oh, violent crime, not sexual.
Well,
forget the intercourse.
That came later.
Okay.
There was a movement. There's an environmental movement. There's especially an indigenous peoples kind of Indian kind of movement.
Yeah.
There was a empower women, but not that they were being victimized. It was kind of an interesting thing. It was a sort of – there was kind of a black power thing, but not a black victim thing.
Mm.
Things – there was a female power thing, you know, like, oh, a woman needs a man, like a fish needs a bicycle. Like there was a sort of a you go, sister. Mm-hmm. You go, brother. It was like a sort of black empowerment, female empowerment. But there was – and even a sort of – Julio Cesar Chavez one's a boxer, the other picked grapes, but either way, farm leader. The point is this, it was empowerment. It wasn't we got a target on our back they weren't being oppressed. They were empowering.
They were breaking through.
Right. Which is much different than target on your back, oppression.
Hmm. Yeah, now we're in the oppression stories.
We're in a world where, and again, they never really explain it. Just Charlize Theron explains there are cities she wouldn't go to with her young black adopted child because she fears for the safety of her child. But they never named the city.
I'd love to know what city that was. Was it South Africa? Somewhere in South Africa?
Probably her hometown.
Yeah, right.
She's talking about the United States. Mm. And the answer to that is you must present a city in order to continue this dialogue. And for all the cowards that are doing all the interviewing, please have follow-up questions. Maybe you agree with Charlize Theron. It's sort of incumbent upon you as an interviewer for Rolling Stone or whoever to go, what cities are you talking about? And by the way, look at it as a service you're providing your African-American readership who could avoid those cities.
Absolutely.
Because there might be harm brought to them. Now, the answer is if you then name the city, then that then leaves an opening for somebody to dispute you. And I'm guessing your point will quickly be destroyed. So let's not open that door. Let's just say there are places in the United States I will not bring my son, which is the kind of the opposite of black power. Yes?
Yeah.
It's just places I won't go.
I didn't understand the diatribe last night, the Golden Globe the other night from the Versace thing either.
The Versace thing made me want to puke because the guy was killed by a gay man who was a serial killer. These times were much more dangerous back then. So, well, okay, but he wasn't killed by Klansmen. He was just killed by a gay guy who was a serial killer who, by the way, was half Filipino. So he had two things that you're constantly talking about, and that was the biggest one where they go, scared of people who look different than you. Is there a possibility that in the United States, in any metropolitan city, that you could possibly come close to functioning in a business?
If you were afraid
a parent,
of people that look different than you?
Yes.
No, you couldn't function.
Like, literally, I'll take what you say. And by the way, that's just something you hear and repeat. You don't mean it. But I will say, scared of people who look different than you. Could you function in Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, or Minneapolis? Could you function?
Mm.
I don't think you could function. Could you?
No.
It's impossible. It's nothing but people who look different than you.
Yeah. Or you'd have to be on medication or something.
You'd be constantly going... Yeah. Because you'd hop in an Uber and the guy would be swarthy and have an accent and you'd jump out of the window, right?
Again, struggling to make sense of it, I think they would argue that, oh, it's subtle, it's systemic, it blah, 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 you know.
All right. Well, let me tell you what isn't a struggle. True Car. 60 seconds. That's how long this commercial lasts. What else can you do in a minute? Get an offer on your car. Just go to True Car from your smartphone or your computer. Enter your license plate number and watch the car's details pop up. Answer a few questions. You'll get an accurate True Cash offer from a local True Car certified dealer. Then bring in your car and you can get a check or you can trade in your car and you can trade it in on a new car or a used car. I like to say previously owned. No surprises. And again, you can walk out of there with a check, or you can drive out of there in a new car or a used car. When you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. There's one up the street, by the way. True Car, everybody. All right, Drewski, you got a quick update on the cold shower update Caleb?
Yep, this is from Healthline. They do indicate that it does increase endorphins. Cold shower for up to 5 minutes, two to three times per week was shown to help relieve symptoms of depression in a clinical trial. Mm-hmm. For those with depression, cold showers does work as a gentle electroshock therapy. The cold water sends electrical impulses to your brain, jolting your system to increase alertness, clarity, and energy levels.
You're awake.
5 minutes, by the way.
That's a long
Five minutes is way more time than you need in that cold shower. But the round trip on the pool is probably 4 minutes all in. People, things don't take as long as you think they take. That's the other thing you have to kind of do when you're trying to make a deal with yourself, which is I'm listening to a radio show and they just go on to commercial break and I'm going to be back in here in my bathrobe by the time they come back.
You moved, right?
I've not moved yet.
And there's a cold pool there? Same setup?
It's a pool and it's not heated.
Okay.
So,
but is it? I guess what I'm asking is, I started thinking about myself. I'm going to have to go downstairs and get in the pool. I'll stay in the cold shower. But you had it right outside your window there. Is it going to be like that again in the new house?
You're saying you can't access your pool?
No, I'm saying that the barriers to you can't. No, barriers. Listen to me.
Well, there's a spike strip. Then there's actually cement physical barriers.
Is it going to be right outside your door again?
There are dogs, but they're not really an issue. I bring up raw. No. Drew, you are copping out because I live in a home now where the
where
pool
do you live?
In a home with my children whose head I fart upon.
Who fart back. They fart back.
The pool is 30 feet away from the back of the house,
yeah.
But you have to open a sliding door, walk
no,
down
just
some
curious
stairs.
If it's there in your face the same way in this new house. That's all. Just asking.
It's an insane question.
No, we'll see.
It's a house with a pool and a backyard.
Do you have to go downstairs and deal with Phil and blah, blah, blah to get out to it now?
The bed.
I'm just asking. I'm just
Drew,
curious.
Drew, you're copping out. You can easily get to your pool. It's right off your kitchen.
Yes, I could. Yes, I could.
The pool's in the backyard. It is a distance away from the sliding door that I shall pass through and enter the pool.
Okay.
All right. By the way, when I say to everyone at the Corolla house, you want to join me in the freezing pool? Number one answer?
Too cold?
It's cold.
Yeah.
I go, okay. All right. Let's see. Thursday, January 24th, Irvine Improv. Me and David Zucker are up on stage talking about Airplane and doing basic cable commentary. Friday, the 8th, Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. And then Saturday, back to the Wilbur Theater doing stand-up in Boston, February 9th. Come on out. Say hi. I'll say hi after the show. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all you need. Check out Lady Gang Podcast, 200th episode. Happy birthday to the Lady Gang, by the way, on Podcast One and Apple Podcast. What do you got, Drew?
Go to Dr.com. I'm now putting out the Opium series as a podcast with interviews of the sort of real pertinent players in the, say, in the history of the opium use or the administrative people that set up the history of methadone. We actually, the big players in that history, we actually interview, and you'll hear their commentary inserted in the opium audiobooks. So look forward. It's a weekly infusion.
So, till next time, man. A pro for Dr. Drew Saint. Mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.